So for leading us in service this morning, I think we got a little quarantine section right here between brother and I, and we were trading cough drops of one another. But thankful that God has seen us yet another day on this side of life, and thankful for this opportunity to be able to come together and look at his word once again. We welcome each of you here this morning, and especially those that are visiting with us for the very first time. If this is your first time, I'm not going to ask you to make a speech or anything like that, but just by a raise of hand, if this is your first time here, could you just raise your hand for us? Amen, amen. We want to just give you a round of applause and thank you for coming and being here with us this morning. Amen, amen. After the sermon, on the way out at the table, there's a gift for you to take with you. If you would take your welcome packet, your visitor's packet, we'd love to be able to give that to you and share that with you. Amen. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Excuse me. Habakkuk 3:17, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, and though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for another time, an opportunity to examine that word. We ask that you would open our eyes to the truth. We pray that we might be able to see the things that you have for us to see and able to process and put into practice those things which you know are true within your word. Help us, Lord, as we strive to grow in you, to live for you, to shine our lights for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last summer, we had an opportunity to go to Puerto Rico for the very first time. Amen. Caesar went with me. That's why he remembers. And we went to the El Yunque Forest, the national park there. And myself and Crystal and Leah, Naya, and Cedric, we all went to El Yunque Rainforest, and we took a hiking trail. I think we found a Groupon or something like that, and they met us in a parking lot. We got in a car, you know, followed them into who knows where we were going. All I know is the cell towers, they were non-existent wherever we were. And so luckily, even though we had no access, and we had no access to outside world. The only people we knew and the only people we had was our guides. In this beautiful place, towering trees, flowering flowers everywhere, waterfalls, skunky frogs filling the air. And it almost felt like there were some times I had almost like an out-of-body experience, as if, you ever felt like, is this real? Like, it was so beautiful, so gorgeous, that sometimes I had to pinch myself. Is this real? Now, if you hiked, anybody ever hiked rainforest, hiked? All right, okay. Now, if you hiked, and you didn't have to go to rainforest, but even in some of the regular woods and stuff, you'll notice that not all trails are smooth trails. Sometimes there's some rough terrain. Some parts were absolutely beautiful. We were walking over clear, crystal water and all that. You could see your foot all the way down, feet down there. Yeah, I mean, it was just absolutely beautiful. And then some places where we walked into, it was dark, and it was steep, and there was drops, and there was, you know, it was, the terrain was just really, really scary. Slippery rocks, steep paths. Someone in our group had a pretty bad fall, but I won't tell you about her, about that person at all. But you know, all the time, even while we were out there, and even falling, getting up, and we all had a couple tumbles and all that, we felt safe because the guys that we had been on that trail hundreds and hundreds of times. They knew which rocks we should step on and don't step on that rock, or don't go down that little area right there. We had a large group, and so these guys had to make sure they watch out for each of us and where we were going. They knew which paths to take. They knew where we could stop and take a rest and be able to catch a glimpse of the beauty and all that, and when it was time to get back and start walking again because there were other groups that were coming and all that. They knew. They understood the area. And because they understood the area, and because we followed them. We were outside our territory. We followed them and just listened to what they said. We trusted them because they knew the way. That's what faith looks like. God is out front knowing the way while we're going through this crazy thing called life, and all of the confusion and the craziness and the uncertainty that's out there. And I want to go to Habakkuk and look at him in his time for a moment, and then look at us again. Habakkuk found himself in some crazy uncertainty. The world that he was living in was falling apart right before his eyes. Evil seemed to be winning. And he had a lot of questions. You know, he's questioning God and all that. And he had many questions. You know, history has a way of repeating itself. We're gonna look at the context of their story right now. But the nations rise and nations fall. Cultures flourish and they decay. People turn to God and some run from God. And Habakkuk lived in one of those moments where it seemed like, once again, everything is falling apart. Late 7th century B.C., one of the darkest periods of Judah's history, this once great kingdom now is being threatened, right? Things were crumbling. And I want you to see this, because their fall came from two places, from the outside and from within. From the outside, you know, there were some great empires, you know, with the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, and this time the Assyrian is getting ready to fade out, and Babylonians getting ready to come in and come strong. And there's a storm that's brewing. Assyria, they were the power, and Babylon is now rising and fast. And the Babylonians weren't just any ordinary nations. They were ruthless, unstoppable. I mean, they would kill and have no mercy on those that they would come and demolish everything in their path. And in the midst of all this, Habakkuk stood, his people, his identity, everything he knew is crumbling around him. And he's standing there and talking with God, a prophet with God. He sees this evil happening around him, and he's saying, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Why does injustice go unpunished? How long will you allow these atrocities to happen to our people? And what God answers, and here's the key here. When God doesn't always answer us the way we want, think he should answer us and all that. God is saying to him, I'm doing something you don't even know what I'm doing. I'm going to bring punishment, and he's sharing with them, and he's telling them, I'm bringing punishment by the Babylonians. The Babylonians? They're coming to punish God's people now? This pagan, violent, wicked group of people? That's your tool that you're using in order to now come and to punish us? And see, this is where sometimes our minds and history and the things that are unraveling in history, they don't intersect, because we have no idea what's going on. Habakkuk had no idea what was going on. I mean, he saw the destruction, he saw the corruption, he saw the internal problems and the idolatry that was causing and arousing God's anger toward his people. He saw the ways in which people manipulated and divided and hurt one another on the inside, and then the threats that were on the outside. So you've got this I mean, from the inside and outside, everything is going wrong. And in Habakkuk's there trying to be a man for the people, trying to speak out for the people, trying to be a prophet. And he doesn't understand what's going on. But by the end of this whole dialogue, he comes to realize sometimes you don't have to know everything. Sometimes you might not need to, you won't know what, but as long as you know who, that's just enough. As long as you know who, it's just enough. Let's look at Habakkuk for a little bit. How can we trust God when it seems that everything around us is falling apart? First of all, we got to acknowledge the reality of what is, It says in this verse here that though the fig tree does not bud, and though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, and though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, Sorry about that. I should have covered the mic. Sorry about that. No figs. No grapes. No olives. No crops. No sheep. No cattle. Nothing. Scarcity. Scarcity. You know, I want you to put yourself in that place for a moment in a society, in an environment where there's just economic devastation. And you're just trying to make it each day, you know. Just trying to get enough for myself and for my family to make sure that they're taken care of for that day. And yet the challenge that Habakkuk finds himself in and the people find himself in is that it was difficult. It was a challenge. No figs, no grapes, no olives, no, it's a picture of total devastation. Every source of provision has disappeared. And in a situation like this, now you got to remember that these are God's people. These are God's people. And they're going through this time of suffering. And one of the things we realize and recognize is that God's people are not exempt from suffering. God's people are not exempt from trouble, right? Trouble is par for the course. I say that all the time. You've heard me say that so many times. It's par for the course. It's part of us in this walk called life. Trouble comes with it. It just comes with it. And so they find themselves in this situation and look to the left, look to the right, look everywhere. There's no help. Fig trees, if you don't have any figs, any food, you know, there's no food. This is an agricultural society. Not only was the food, the food was money. The food was used to barter with and all of that. And so you have so much devastation in so many areas. Now, there's a challenge. There's a challenge when there's problems and faith. And we see this in our life. We see this in the Bible many times where there's a circumstance that challenges us so much that it shakes our faith. It makes us question God. God, do you love me? Do you care about me? Are you with me? Are you still here? We were in our Bible class this morning. I had them read the Footprints in the Sand poem. I had them read the Footprints in the Sand poem in which you got two sets of footprints, and at one point, it's just one single set. And at one point, it was God, Jesus, and me walking side by side and all that. And then at one point, there's only one set of footprints, and that person, he goes, Lord, at the toughest time of my life, what happened? You abandoned me. You left me. There's only one footprints in the sand. You left me at the most crucial moment when I needed you the most. And he, of course, if you know that the poem, Jesus turns and says, look, I never left you. It's at that moment where I saw that you were the weakest and your lowest that I stooped down and picked you up and grabbed you in my arms and carried you the rest of the way. See, that's the kind of God that we have. Then he understands, we go through some things, but we're not alone. We're going to go through trials, but you're not going to be alone going through trials. As he told his disciples, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And there are times where you can look out and it looks like just devastation everywhere. I mean, economic devastation. right? I mean, let's just be honest. I think at some point we're going to have to start counting our nickels a little bit different. You know, the prices, the eggs are going up, all right? Everything is going up, all right? And so we've got to be a little more frugal in the things that we do and how we do it. But job, I don't know, many of you might know, but my wife works for the federal government. And many of you work for the federal government. And you understand that it's a very sensitive time right now for many who are in that, trying to figure out. There's some that went to work or got a phone call saying, don't come to work. And it disrupts your life, and life is now changed completely in just a moment. We were talking about circumstances like that, like kind of like COVID did to all of us also. You know, in just a blink of an eye, things can change. And the security that you thought you had, the footing that you thought you had, could be wiped out in just one moment. And so, I don't know how we got back to Puerto Rico, but it is beautiful over there, yeah. So maybe you can relate, you know, a job situation, and you find yourself in that tension, in that moment right now. Or maybe it's the tension of the doctor. You went to the doctor, and the doctor, you talked to him, and they did some tests, and all of a sudden there's a phone call, and it says, can you come in and talk to us? What's this about? Can you just come in and talk to us? You know that feeling. You know, if you ever had that kind of call, you know that kind of feeling that you have. And there's a great tension right now. I'm trying to figure out some things. Job losses, diagnosis, broken relationships. You thought she was the one. You thought he was the one. And yet now life has changed in just an instant. Seasons where everything feels like life is falling apart. We've got to acknowledge the reality of the landscape and what's happening around us. Faith isn't about ignoring what is. It's not about ignoring the storms. It's not ignoring the problems. It's not pretending like, you know, we're having conversations in our house, right? I mean, this is the reality. This is what life is. Faith it's not about ignoring the storms, but it's about putting your trust in the God that controls the storm instead of about focusing so much on the storm. Put your trust in the God that controls storms. Then our focus on the storm itself. You see, that's what Habakkuk does. Yes, there's devastation. No figs, no olives, no crops. Yes, there's scarcity. Yes, there's devastation. Yes, there's internal problems and external problems. There's problems from every single way. But yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I actually almost named this the tension of yet. Being right there at that moment where beforehand, but you have a decision to make. You know, I see the facts. I see all the statistics. I see what it says and all of that. And I know how bad it is. I know they say the economy and the stock market and my 401k and this, that. I see that. And that's a reality. And it's real. And it's affecting me. And it's hurting me, and it's hurting family members, and it's hurting friends, and it's and all that. I see the reality. I see the trajectory. I see where this is going. I see it. But yet. You see, the thing is, there have been so many times in my life. So many times, and I'm sure that you can attest to the same thing. So many times in our lives where we thought that this was going to be the conclusion. We thought this was going to be the end. We thought this was going to be how the story ended. And yet God comes in and he comes in and opens another door where there was no door. He comes in and makes a way where there was no way. This is the God that I serve. I don't know about you. This is the God that I serve. And so even when it's cloudy and when it's murky and when it's dark, when I don't know the way, I know who does. In that Yunque rainforest, there were some times it was light outside. But the it was so thick. The foliage was so thick and all that. As we're going in through there and all that, it looked like it was nighttime. And the only thing that we had was the person that was right in front of you. See, we were in a group. We were in a group, and there were times where we would have to go into a little one line, and all you could see was the person right in front of you. But if you saw the person in front of you, and that person was linked to the person in front of them, and that person was linked to the person in front of them, and that person was linked to the guide, you all right. Okay. We all are right as long as we all on that in that line. Right? The leader is out there who knows the way, and everybody following. And even if someone falls down, there's someone right behind them. Pick you up. Come on. Y'all see where I'm going with this? And so God is like, he wants to be our guide, leading us even through, you know, David talked about those valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God, you're leading me. I don't know where. I don't know the way. But you're the way, anyway. All I got to do is follow you. How do I say this? There was a different sermon I was going to preach today. A different sermon. Maybe I'll preach it later. I don't know. But this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm not trying to sing it. This world is broken. And we just gotta speak truth to truth. This world is broken. This world's been broken. Genesis, we see where that sin entered into this world. And ever since, we've been waiting for Jesus to come back. Right? And so there's nothing new. There's nothing new. I mean, some of this is just new for us. Some of the troubles are new troubles for you. Your problems are new problems for you. But they've been around for a long time, and God has been on the throne always. God has never took a moment off of his throne and sitting on that throne. He's still on that throne. He's still in power and on high. Amen. And guess what? He's still in charge, and he still lifts up and puts down. He still opens doors and closes them. He still advances. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? So it don't matter what you're going through. It don't matter what you see, the future and what's it going to be and all that. I don't need to know the future as long as I know him. I don't need to know what's coming next as long as every single day I'm keeping my hand in him. The circumstances look one way. The doctors say one thing. The economists say one thing. This one says something. But what does God say? That's what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, I see all the statistics and all that, yet I will rejoice. I know I'm in prison, Paul and Silas, yet I will rejoice. I'll sing songs in the jail because I understand who God is. Not my circumstance, not what I'm going through, but who God is. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will be joyful in God, my Savior. You can choose to rejoice. You don't have to allow whatever's going on in the world, the stuff they're talking about at work, right? The fears we might have as to what might happen or what could come or what they could do. God's been walking with me every single day and walking with you every single day. He's got us. He's got us, and none of this is escaping him. He sees all. He knows all. He knows where we live. Amen. Then lastly, find strength in God's support. He says that the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. The image here is the feet of a deer. And we've got a lot of deer in our neighborhood and all that. And you know, these goats and deer and all these kind of things with these little hooves and all that, it's amazing sometimes kind of looking at them. I remember going to Israel and seeing the goats and the lambs and all that going up on mountains and stuff like that, you know, and you just see these animals. But the key is they're not afraid of heights, right? They're not afraid of heights. They'll go wherever it is. And Habakkuk is saying, look, God, that's what God does for me. He gives me and he allows me to step my feet in the right places. He won't let my foot to fall. Even going up the mountains that are rocky terrain and all that, he's watching each one of my footsteps and making sure that I'm good, that I won't slip and I won't fall backward and all that. God desires to make sure and to help us as we walk through this life. This is one of the things about the Bible, that the Bible is not just a book to tell us how to get to heaven. It's also how to tell us how to live in order to get to heaven. How to live in a way, you know, and have the confidence and faith and trust and all of that. And it's so important that we see God clearly. Isn't that what real faith is really about? I don't see God as eyes and ears and all that. I just see God as love. I see God as a personal, my personal God. And you can have him too. You can have him too. All right. But he's our personal friend, helper, strength, provider, leader, mentor. You know, when I'm weak, he's my strength. You know, really, what I'm trying to say is we've got to get to the point where our trust in him is greater than what we think about ourselves, about what someone writes in a book. You know, I mean, we've got... Other than his book, you know, I'm not even talking about that book. But God wants us to trust him so greatly. You remember we did we tried to do that one where you fall back into the arms. Was it Cedric that came up and did that? And we tried the confidence test, that if you fall back into someone's arms, they'll catch you. You ever seen that? You want to do it? All right, anyway. But the key is God wants to be right there. He's got our back. He's got our back. And you fall, he's there to lift you up. And I think that's some great encouragement. I'm coming to a close. That's some great encouragement, because in this life is going to test us in so many ways. And there are some times where we're going to fall back because of circumstances in our life. There's going to be a challenge that comes, and maybe there's some that say, look Lord, that was too big of a test for me. And so maybe you push yourself away and isolate yourself from God and from God's people. And so today, your encouragement is God still loves you, and he still wants you, and he still desires to lead you, and he hasn't forsaken you at all. He's been walking with you every step of the way. And even when it feels like things are getting tough and it is, you know, and all that, and he's still there. I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age. And so I hope that today you could just put your trust in him completely. Recognize that he has the best for us. God is our Father. And he's our perfect Father. And maybe some of you have fathers who love you, and who cared for you, and who thought the best for you. Well, we've got a greater Father even than your earthly Father. Heavenly Father who wants the very best for you and desires that you grow and in him. Maybe this is your day, your opportunity to come to Jesus Christ, to come to God, the God that loves you. This is your opportunity. You need to come hearing and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear and believe. repent of your sins, turn to Jesus Christ, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. See, Jesus came, once again, recognizing that we were going to sin. He understood we were going to fall. And because of that, he gives us Jesus Christ as a remedy for our failures. Jesus comes and he dies and puts all the sins of the world on his shoulders and goes to the cross and dies for the world. And then he gives each one of us a special invitation to come and to partake in this salvation, partake in this joy. And he gives each of us this opportunity to hear and obey the gospel. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you're ready to obey the gospel in baptism. What that does, that brings you into Jesus Christ. That brings you into the covering of Jesus Christ. That brings you into the safety of his church. That brings you out of darkness and brings you into his marvelous light. And you do that by going down to the water grave of baptism. Excuse me, you do that by first hearing this message, understanding it, wanting and desiring, allowing it to move you to desire to make God, Jesus, your Lord. And then that will definitely lead you into the water. If you're ready this morning to obey Jesus Christ, obey God in water baptism, won't you come right now? Baptism begins. When baptism happens, you have a change to your life. Romans 6:4 says, when we were baptized, we died and we were buried with Christ. We were baptized so that we would live a new life as Christ was raised to life by the glory of the Father. Maybe there's someone here and you're ready for that new life. You're ready for that. This is your opportunity. This is your invitation now. Will you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation? I surrender all to you.